I think it's kind of appropriate that we talk about prayer this morning as we remembered 17 years ago last Tuesday, about 9/11, how we lost about 3,000 people during that terrorist attack. And it was kind of a shock to the nation because that was the first time we had ever been actually attacked. And so we need to remember that. And shortly thereafter, churches were pretty full because people wanted to know what's going on, and they wanted some kind of reassurance that everything was going to be okay. Of course, it's dwindled down since then, but we need to talk about prayer, and we need to talk about perseverance. So we'll be reading from John 17, 6 through 19. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. I know there are people who pray day and night. Some of you may pray day and night. You are in a desperate situation, looking for God's help, and so you petition Him through your prayers all through the day and into the night. We've all been there at one time or another, and we're banging furiously on God's door. We need an answer, and we know prayer will provide that answer. God always answers prayers. If you remember back quite a few years ago, how George Burns, playing God in O God, Book 2, is asked by the little girl why bad things happen. And he looks at her thoughtfully and considers the question, and then he says, that's just the way the system works. Have you ever seen an up without a down, a front without a back, a top without a bottom? You can't have one without the other. He says, I discovered that if I take away sad, then I take away happy too. They go together. Then he adds, if someone has a better idea, I hope they put it in the suggestion box. We don't know why life can be cruel sometimes. We don't know why bad things happen, but it is just part of the way things are. And I know it can be frustrating sometimes when we face pains and hurts and wonder why. But just know that God is there with you. And God is there with you stronger when you're in pain and hurting than when things seem to be going okay. There was a visiting preacher in a small Kentucky town. They were going to do a revival. And he noticed when he got up to the pulpit that most of the men in the congregation were wearing sidearms, which kind of shook him up a little bit. And then by the time he got through with his sermon, several of those men started walking towards the pulpit with their weapons drawn. And he's thinking, oh my God. And he turns and looks at the chairman of the deacons, and the deacon chairman assures him that they are not after you. They are after whoever it was that hired you. Sometimes, I know you probably don't appreciate the sermons I give, but I go where the Holy Spirit leads me. There's a tragic but ironic story about a young man in California. He's 37 years old, who accidentally shot himself. The ironic part of this story is he shot himself while he was explaining to his wife how safe guns are. He did not realize that the .45 he had in his hand was loaded, which is very ironic for somebody considering gun safety, and put it up under his chin and pulled the trigger. His wife explained to the police that the reason he was giving her this safety lesson is because she had been complaining about him owning 70 guns, which she thought was a little bit ridiculous. But, you know, we live in a scary world, and there are people out there that are collecting armories of weapons just in case. I guess they're waiting for the zombie apocalypse or something, but it is a scary world out there, and how you handle the scary world, different people do it in different ways. Some by your faith, some by your martial arts skills, if you will, or your silver tongue. You're a great talker and can talk your way out of situations, or carrying a weapon. There's a kind of a bad joke, a little story about a TV news crew that was taping the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. They were going to do a story on this, and they noticed that there was an elderly man who came to the wall every day, morning, noon, and night. He was there every day. Well, by the time they got about through with their story, they thought, well, they'll interview this guy. They'll ask him what's going on. And so they asked him, what is it that you are praying about? Why do you come to the wall three times a day? What are you praying about? He says, well, I pray for health, for happiness, and for peace in my land. The reporter looked at him and says, well, you don't look real healthy. Are you happy? Not really, he said. And your homeland is in a turmoil. Do you really believe your prayers are being heard? The man kind of nodded and replied. He says, well, sometimes it's like talking to a wall. And sometimes for us as mature Christians, when we pray, we may feel like sometimes we're talking to a wall. God's not listening. But I'm here to assure you that God does listen. He hears everything we pray to Him. And He will answer you. He will answer you with, yes, that's what we can do, or no, that's not a good idea, or let's work on something different. But He will answer you. The key to His answer is patience. We have to be patient. God's time is not our time. But rest assured that when you pray, you're not praying to the wall. You're not praying to the sky. You are praying to God, and He hears every word. And that's what John is assuring us of in the verses we read this morning. Jesus wanted His disciples to know that God sent me, and while I was here, I'm taking care of you. And when I go back to the Father, the Holy Spirit will be with you, and He will guide you. And He prays for their protection, their preservation, and their perseverance. So let's talk about protection. After Christ's resurrection and ascension, His disciples lived in a world that was dangerous. And He knew that once He left, that they were going to get the persecution that He had been getting because they represented Him. That was their face. That was His face here on earth, was the disciples and us today, that they were going to face problems and persecution. And He wanted to be sure that they understood that God was going to watch over them, that it was going to be okay. He knew that God would take care of them, but had to assure them that He would. He prays for protection. He does not pray for their safety. The last thing he wanted them to do was to go around spreading the gospel armed to the teeth. He wanted them to know they would be protected. And we would be protected. If you are in a bad situation, God will protect you. God will provide for you. And know this, there is strength in unity. That's why we have a church family. Because we are in unity with one another. And when you pray together, it's even stronger than you praying individually. We support one another. There is strength in unity as a church. We are a church family. There's a preacher named Barbara Brown Taylor who talks about church unity. And she talks about comfort and security in that church unity. And she tells about a young man who had some brain damage, but came to church one Sunday morning and wanted to join the church. He wanted to become a church member. And he was very careful to not let the church know that he had no food, no money, and no family to take him in. But somehow, through the unity of this church, they figured this out. And one of the members went to the grocery store and got him some food. And another member went and found him a place to live. And that's how unity works. And that's how we take care of one another and take care of those around us. It's about strength in numbers. And it's about love one another as I have loved you. That's Jesus' final commandment before he leaves, which is a little bit beyond love thy neighbor as thyself. Love one another as I have loved you. And that's why I always enjoin you at the end of the service to be the face of God out in the world. She tells another story about a woman who has cancer. And she's told she only has 6 months to live. So the church gathers around her and her husband at the altar, puts their hands on them, and prays for them. And then on top of that, they would take meals to the house, help her clean the house or clean it for her, and they took good care of her. Again, this is about unity. It's about being a family. She had terminal cancer, but because the church took care of her, the church prayed for her, she actually started to get better and started to do some of the things that she enjoyed doing, like writing poetry, even though she knew at some point, yes, she was going to pass on. Now, on a Christmas Eve, this lady was back in church for the first time because she's feeling better. She walks up to the pulpit and she starts to read from Isaiah. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. And when she sits down, the congregation knows that they've not just heard the word of God, they have seen it in action. That was excellent witness and testimony. God was with her. She had nothing to fear because she had her church family. She was protected. Jesus prays for our protection. And he also prays for our preservation. He prayed that none would be lost from the fellowship. Of course, he knew there was the one that was going to be lost, but that was about fulfilling Scripture. In the Psalms, it says, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." From Psalm 91. Christ prayed for preservation. There's a lady who was about to have surgery and was really nervous about it. Her granddaughter came to see her in the hospital before the surgery, and her granddaughter notices that she's looking through this hospital brochure because she's nervous and she's wanting to find out some things about this hospital. And her granddaughter looks at her and says, "Grandma, show me the angels." Her grandmother was a little confused. And the granddaughter said, "Right there." It was on the cover of the brochure. There was a doctor, a nurse, and a patient, all dressed in white. And she looked at her grandmother and she said, "See? There's the angels." And her grandmother said, "No, that's a doctor, a nurse, and a patient." And she insisted that, "No, those are angels." And after that, her grandmother kind of settled down, wasn't quite so nervous. She had peace about herself, about this surgery she was about to experience, because her granddaughter had reminded her that God sends his angels to watch over us. We are always surrounded by a company of angels. We may not be able to see them, but they're there. They're watching out for us. Sometimes we see them. Sometimes we become angels for one another by providing for one another or doing something special for one another. But angels are there to watch over us. And in Psalm 121, it says, "He will preserve us to the very end." He was a good shepherd. He watches over his flock. He watches that none will be lost. Shepherds know that there are always those sheep that are going to stay together. But there's always one or two that are going to try to stray. And so the shepherd watches out for those that are going to stray. And Jesus watches out for us, that we don't stray. He tries to help us to understand that he protects us and he preserves us and he is there with us, watching over us to keep us from straying. And he also prays for our perseverance, our patience. One thing we learn as Christians as we pray and things happen, that you have to be patient, because God's time is not our time. God knows the perfect time to answer your prayer. He knows the perfect way to answer your prayer. And that's why we need to be patient. And that's what faith is all about. Faith is knowing he will do it. One of my favorite quotes I've said before is, faith is not believing God can. Faith is knowing God will. That's what faith is all about. And that's where patience comes in. We have to be patient. That's our future. Our lives, our church, our communities are relying on our faith. They're relying on us to get them through. They may not realize it, but as we move throughout the community, during our daily lives and doing the things that we do, as we are that imitation of Christ, through our faith, they see those things, and maybe it plants a seed. Maybe they want to find out more about that. And that's where faith comes in. We have to be patient. And faith is really important in this day and age because things are changing so fast. In the 21st century, we're making advances in every field, medicine, computers, all these different things, automobiles. We're making such advances that it gets a little scary sometimes. But we have to remain faithful and know that God is in control. God is watching out for what's going on, and the things that are happening, he is allowing to happen. The author of Hebrews tells us that the most intelligent thing man can think of is but a simple whim of God. So don't ever think you can outsmart him. God knows what's going on. And that's why we have faith, because we know he knows what's going on. And through faith comes patience. You ever watched a greyhound race, greyhound dogs? It's a lot different than horse races like Kentucky's so famous for. The greyhounds are trained to chase this little mechanical rabbit around the track. Well, this one particular race, the starting gun went off, the cages were opened, and the dog started chasing after this mechanical rabbit. But in the first turn, something happened, an electrical short or something in this mechanical rabbit, and it exploded and was left hanging there. And because the dogs were trained to follow this rabbit, which was not moving anymore, they didn't know what to do. Some of them just stopped right there and laid down on the track. Some of them kept running, but since they didn't have the rabbit to guide them around the track, ran into the wall. Some of them turned around and started howling at the audience because they were probably making noise and they didn't know what was going on. And the reason I tell you that is that's kind of the way we are with Jesus. Jesus would be like that mechanical rabbit that we are trained to follow. And if we lose track of that, we lose faith that Jesus is guiding us, we don't know what to do. We may just lay down where we're at and give up. Or we may hurt ourselves. We have to know that he is there guiding us all the time. He's not going to blow up and be left hanging there. We have faith and know that Jesus is there always helping us to move forward. Churches today have kind of run into this problem of guidance. We've kind of lost our way. We are here not only to support one another, but we are here to spread the gospel. We are here to show others our faith and our strength. We are here to show others our God, their God. That is our purpose. Jesus wants us to go out into the world. That was one of the things that he tells us in the verses we read this morning. He was sending them out into this world knowing that it was a dangerous world. And we are to go out into the world and spread the gospel. So always remember, as he prayed to the Father, he prayed for our protection. He prays for our perseverance, our preservation, and prays for our perseverance. Never give up. Know he's there. He's going to protect you. He's going to preserve you. And all you have to do is be patient. He prays that we have patience. And the patience comes through faith. So no matter what it is that you're praying for, no matter how serious it is, or how little you may think it is, he always hears, he always answers. So don't be afraid to go to him in prayer. Even if you think, wow, this is silly, I don't need to pray about this. There's a book called Your God is Too Small, and that's what it talks about. Nothing is too small for God. Nothing is too big for God. Prayer and perseverance. That's how we get through life today. by praying to God, knowing He's there helping us, and being patient to wait for His answer. And He will guide us along the path He has set out for us, whether it's us individually or us as a church. Amen.